Welcome to the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. A regional leader in education and life skills solutions, Mary Cariola Center serves hundreds of children and young adults each year through academic, residential, and community outreach programs. This radio show is another outreach, a look at how Mary Cariola's highly skilled staff works with youth with disabilities and introducing you to some of the finest special education teachers, therapists, nurses, and social workers in New York. Join us on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. This month, we are discussing autism and Autism Acceptance Month, which used to be known as Autism Awareness Month. We're going to learn why that change in the name has happened and why it is important to know about autism and much more. And at the end, we'll have some very interesting information about how you can get a job at the Mary Cariola Center. All that and more coming up on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. Our first guest on the Mary Cariola Center Show is Lynn Marie Williams, who is a behavior therapist supervisor at the East Avenue campus of Mary Cariola Center. Lynn Marie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, so, you know, we're talking about autism, and we're talking about it in the sense that this is Autism Acceptance Month. Can you kind of give us a little overview of its meaning and why it's important that we have a date like this?
Yes. Well, autism is important to us here at Mary Cariola. It's one of those things that's a neurologically based developmental disability, and it lasts throughout someone's lifetime. Autism is characterized by, you know, social communication challenges, even those sensory impairments. And it's important that people know about it so they accept individuals with autism.
Okay. And then, you know, I know at Mary Cariola Center there are lots of students and residents with autism. From your standpoint as a behavior therapist supervisor, What kind of rings true to you in how people should, you know, treat people with autism? I know a lot of times, you know, when you're out in public, if you see someone with any disability, I know that people tend to have the propensity to look and stare and instead of just ask questions. So what do people need to know in the general public if they see someone with autism or think it's someone with autism?
I think they need to greet them with how they would with anybody else. You know, go up and say hello to them. You know, you might ask someone that's with someone with autism, like, is it okay to say hello to them? You know, what's your name? You can talk directly to the person. I think that's one thing that probably a lot of our students and our families and even our adults and our residents might not get a lot of. You know, just talk to them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them their likes.
That's great, and that's great advice for people to take. Just ask people and learn more about autism and the things that go on for a person who has autism. So, as a behavior therapist, what are some things that you do on a day-to-day basis for or with individuals with autism?
We definitely work on a variety of skills. So it could start right in the morning with coming in, putting things in their lockers, putting their notebook away, a lot of prompting, consistency with tasks, working on their goals for the day, and really just having a huge level of patience and acceptance for how their day is going to go.
And Lynn Marie, what about when people say something like they're working on behaviors, even at Mary Cariola, when a teacher or a therapist may say something to the effect of, you know, they're working with the student's behaviors. What does that really mean, and how do they do it? How do they work with the behaviors?
I would have to ask them, what behavior? Everything we do is our behavior. So which one are they working on? You know, maybe it's the behavior of walking down the hall. You know, for some of our higher functioning students, it's going somewhere independently. So what specific behavior are they working on? And then how can we do our best to be proactive, to set it up in a way that's going to be successful for them?
And is that something that is kind of ingrained in a Mary Cariola Center employee? I mean, I would imagine it takes lots of patience and lots of training and so on. What's it like for the person working with the student with autism?
You're right. It definitely takes a ton of patience, I think. But also it's just kind of the sense of being ready to look at that day and accept them where they're at. Everybody acts a little bit differently each day. Some days they can do everything that's asked of them, and other days they get a little stuck with some, you know, restricted behaviors, some repetition. So it's really just working with them and being ready for whatever they have that day and, you know, asking questions, asking for help when you need it.
And can that behavior ever change? I mean, you know, I was told a long time ago in the marketing and advertising world that, you know, for someone to change their behavior, you need to work with them 21 times before their behavior will change. How does that work at Mary Cariola with the students that you work with?
Yeah, I definitely think there is some truth to that. For the students I work with, it could be more than 21 times that they would have to learn a skill, but they certainly can change their behavior. Behavior can be changed. Sometimes it takes a lot of steps, a lot of planning, and then, you know, really kind of fading out all of those requirements that they need to be successful. So maybe we are fading out the level of support they need or the level of prompting they need to complete a task. But eventually we want to see them engaging in with the least amount of inappropriate behavior and looking through some of those more appropriate, socially accepted behaviors along with as much communication as they can to engage in appropriate behavior.
Okay, so we are speaking with Lynn Marie Williams, who is a behavior therapist supervisor at Mary Cariola Center's East Avenue campus. And Lynn Marie, this is sort of a three-part question. It's pretty simple, but let me throw it at you here. In terms of behavior and changing the behavior to appropriate behaviors maybe that they're working on, what's it like for you to see this and actually see progress? And then take it a step further, and what's it look like from the student's point of view? And finally, what does it look like from the parent's point of view?
Seeing progress is amazing, but it does take time. You know, certainly if I'm working with a student brand new on the East Avenue campus for the first time, I don't expect that I'm going to change their behavior overnight. It takes a lot of staff in different domains, you know, speech, maybe occupational therapy, a lot of different areas. But seeing that progress to when we see those behaviors start to decrease and we see more communication come out, we see more interest come out, that is something that's just, it's very rewarding, but it does take time.
Can you tell if the students are pleased or very feel great because of their accomplishment?
I think so. I think if you really know the student, you can see it. You know, not all of our students give that, you know, directly looking at you right in the eye, but you can kind of see it. And sometimes it's just the way they walk down the hall, you know, or some of them do have, you know, they smile, and or some of them are high enough functioning that they can say, like, you know, I'm proud or I did a good job. And so it really depends on the student. But if you look for those things, they are there. They do feel they feel worth. They feel proud of themselves when they are doing better.
That's great. And we've been speaking with Lynn Marie Williams, who is the behavior therapist supervisor at Mary Cariola Center. And Lynn Marie, as we wrap things up here, what I always ask someone on the radio show who works at Mary Cariola is, you have the opportunity to say something to all of our listeners. And, you know, it's your opportunity to tell people maybe why you work at Mary Cariola and why maybe they should.
I've worked at Mary Cariola a very long time. I think it's an amazing place. It's never the same day twice, but I truly want to be here because I get to work with the kids every single day, and I'm very fortunate for that. The families trust me and the people that work here at Mary Cariola to be with their kids every day, their greatest gifts, And there's no better feeling than knowing someone trusts you with their child.
That's great. Well, again, we really appreciate it, Lynn Marie, as we've been talking about Autism Acceptance Month and also autism in general and how, you know, Mary Cariola works with the students. So thanks for being with us, and we hope to have you on again sometime soon.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Coming up next on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show, we'll speak to one of the principals who has done a lot of work for the autistic community. Stay with us right here on the WISL stations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Monacy Ladrigan of Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester, board-certified dermatologist, pediatric dermatologist, and Mohs surgeon. We're a proud partner of the Mary Cariola Center. Comprehensive Dermatology is a privately owned practice. No call center, no big hospital system, just you and the provider working together to address your concerns. Featuring a new centrally located office with the most advanced MERV 13 air filters for infection prevention, highly rated providers, and incredibly friendly staff who accommodate urgent appointments daily for concerns that may come up overnight. Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester provides an unparalleled patient experience through excellent medical, pediatric, cosmetic, and surgical care, with a focus on customer service and practical solutions to make it easier for you to access the care you need when you need it. Call us today at 585-381-5800 or visit us at 585derm.com.
Lawley, Rochester's full-service insurance and employee benefits broker, is proud to support the Mary Cariola Center. Lawley's team of retirement advisors has over 100 years of combined financial services experience and will work with you to understand your goals and provide long-term solutions. Lawley is committed to being a trusted insurance partner within the Rochester community. To learn more about how Lawley Retirement Advisors can help you with retirement plan options, please call 585-454-1600 or visit lawleyretirement.com.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Additional advisory services offered through Lawley Retirement Advisors. Osaic Wealth, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Osaic Wealth, Inc.
It was 1949. The National Basketball Association was formed. The George Eastman residence was turned into a museum. And a very fiery woman named Mary Cariola, armed with a big heart and even bigger plans, founded what today is the Mary Cariola Center. Today, the agency celebrates its 75th anniversary, and they're looking for your help to continue the mission of educating and caring for children and youth with intellectual developmental disabilities. Hey, join the celebration. Consider a donation for the anniversary. $75 for 75 years. Please visit marycariola.org and click on Donate, and let's keep this agency going for another 75 years.
I'm Karen Zandi, the president and CEO at the Mary Cariola Center. As a nonprofit agency, employee benefits and wellness are important to our staff. For 10 years, we've partnered with Smola Consulting to provide the highest level of consultation to offer our employees the best benefits possible. Smola Consulting customizes plans for their clients, and they have given us the best plans possible. Give them a call. You'll be glad you did. Visit SmolaConsulting.com or call 585-777-4080.
You're listening to the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show on the WISL stations.
We are back on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. I'm Greg Camp, your host. And today we are talking all things autism, as it is Autism Acceptance Month, which used to be known as Autism Awareness Month. Our next guest is a principal who is over at the East Henrietta campus of Mary Cariola Center, Courtney Liggett. Courtney, Kay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about this. First, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up coming to work at Mary Cariola.
Sure, I would be happy to. So I actually, long story short, the first time I heard about Mary Cariola, though I was born and raised in upstate New York, the first time I heard about Mary Cariola was when I was a teacher in Florida, and I had heard of them talking about the center, and how the school that I was working at was really modeled after Mary Cariola. So I was intrigued. I was already planning on moving back to upstate New York and started as a summer teacher, and then was really interested in working with children with more significant behavioral needs, and so became a behavior therapist. Behavior therapist supervisor. I went back to get my admin, and now I'm a principal, and I couldn't be happier. So that was 16 years ago.
Wow! Well, congratulations. I know everybody's happy to have you as the principal. So we are talking about autism and Autism Acceptance Month. Can you talk to us a little bit about autism and this, you know, themed Autism Acceptance Month?
Absolutely. So autism itself, it's a bio-neurological developmental disability, and normally the symptoms of autism do appear before the ages of 3 years old. So what we tend to see that when children are not hitting those developmental milestones around 6 to 12 months of age, 18 months old, the parents start to notice maybe the child isn't engaging socially as they should. They may not be making eye contact, engaging in those babbling communications with the families. Their cognitive function might be delayed. And so there's a variety of different symptoms that we will recognize in young children that will eventually lead to that medical diagnosis of autism that's done through a pediatrician or a developmental psychologist. But there's many different symptoms associated with autism that we do recognize.
I want to get to why Autism Awareness Month was changed to Acceptance Month, but tell me a little bit about Autism Acceptance Month. Why is there a month that's dedicated to autism acceptance and awareness?
Sure. Well, autism has definitely, the prevalency of autism has increased over the years. So about 15 years ago, it was 1 in 76 students or children were diagnosed with autism. Now it's more 1 in 36 children are diagnosed with autism. So autism is much more prevalent in our communities, in our schools, in our families. I'm sure many of us can say, I know someone with autism, or I have someone in my family with autism. So it's something that we need to recognize as a community and really embrace. It was previously known as Autism Awareness Month. That was just recognizing what autism is, that it's around, that we know somebody with autism, but not really accepting or validating what we need to do as an agency, as a community, to really bring individuals with autism in our community successfully and helping them to be celebrated. So there's a change in that it's not just I see autism, it's I accept autism. I appreciate the diversity that autism brings, and I will make our community one that is that helps individuals with autism succeed and feel that they are an important member of.
So how do you, as a principal and a behavior therapist before then, how do you, and I hate saying deal because I've heard so many people say things like, well, you know, we're dealing with this. Better question might be, how do you as a principal see autism and how you treat the students that go to Cariola?
That's a good question. Well, autism has affected my family on a personal level. So I have two nephews diagnosed with autism at a very early age. I also have cousins diagnosed with autism and extended family. So autism is directly a part of my personal life. It's also a part of, obviously, my career and what I do and my passion. So making sure that autism is known by providing opportunities for others in the community to learn about autism and accept autism and help those with autism and other developmental disabilities as well be included is so important to me. So one thing as far as how do I deal with that, it's just something that I do and something that is a part of our culture and our routine at Mary Cariola. We value the diverse learners that we have in our care. We are grateful that they're here. I think they help us to grow as individuals, but it's something that I don't really consider something I have to deal with. It's something that I'm grateful to be a part of my life day to day.
Wow, that's a great perspective. We are speaking with Courtney Liggett, who is the principal of the East Henrietta Road campus for the Mary Cariola Center. Courtney, one of the things that I'd love for you to explain to our listeners, because it's sort of become a little, I don't know, maybe even sarcastic or sort of just a cliche that's used. When somebody says, oh, well, that person must be on the spectrum, what does the spectrum mean? And when they say that, I'm assuming that's not necessarily a compliment.
I would agree with that. I think what people are referring to truly comes down to any of those neurodivergent characteristics that someone may be presenting. So maybe the child or individual is stimming. Maybe they are stuck on a schedule and having a really hard time schedule a little bit. So people will say, oh, they must be on the spectrum. So that's something that we recognize as caregivers of individuals with autism. But it's something that I do wish that people would pay more attention to what they're saying and how they're saying it, so that we are respectful of people who absolutely are on the spectrum. And some of these, you know, let's say it's a problem or a difficult time changing that routine or something's come up, making sure that as individuals we are accepting of that change and supportive of that individual that's struggling too. So yes, we may recognize that individual as someone that's on the autism spectrum, but let's help them to feel like they're a part of our community and that we will provide any support that we can to them.
Sure. You know, you've mentioned community a couple of times, and it just from observation, it seems as if the community is maybe starting to accept autism. You know, I was talking earlier with someone that the Rochester Red Wings have a sensory suite at the baseball games. There's going to be a sensory area at the upcoming Lilac Festival. And there are amusement parks around that have that. I know of one community, which is actually downstate, that they have a performing arts center. And the performing arts center, it's mandatory in their contract that when they bring in a huge star, that they have the first half hour to 45 minutes has to be acoustic. Am I right in saying that more and more in our community, it's being accepted, but I'm also going to say we got more work to do.
Absolutely. I think comparing our Rochester community to other communities, smaller communities with less resources, we have so much available for families with autism. I do think it's hard for families to tap into all of those resources. They're not necessarily shared as loudly as I wish they were. I do think there are obstacles for families to overcome in order to get access to those resources in the community. But you're right. I was just at the Rochester Museum and Science Center on Friday, and I saw multiple quiet, sensory-friendly rooms available for children that maybe were feeling overstimulated or just needed that five-minute break in a quiet room. And children and families were respectful of that quiet space. So we are so lucky to be in a community that's recognizing the need for autism acceptance and really to celebrate the diverse qualities within each of us. But of course, we do have a ways to go as well. And I think it's important to always think about what can we do, what can we change within ourselves, within our community, to support individuals who are a little bit different than us.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that you've done some things like some talks, workshops. Ultimately, you're an educator, so you're educating people about autism. Can you tell us about some of the things that you've done?
Yes. Well, you're right. I'm an educator at heart. So some of the basic things that I do, not even going anywhere specific and doing a training, but I talk about autism when I'm in the community, when I'm with my children, I'm talking about it. It's becoming something that just is, and it's valued and loved and appreciated. I wear my Mary Cariola gear around. I want people to ask, what is Mary Cariola Center? What do you do there? I want that opportunity to teach the community. We have people that, lots of students that are coming in from Nazareth College, from Brockport, students that we are, from RIT, that we would love the opportunity to continue to educate them and show them what we have to offer here. So what I do on a day-to-day basis is teaching and educating others about our students and autism. But there are other more formal things that I've done in the community. With our Penfield School District, another employee and I went and taught about autism and how can you create a classroom that supports the needs of those with autism, to share what we've learned as educators here at Mary Cariola and bring that into other community schools. We also just had a training with RCN to talk about, for especially the younger children, preschool age, before preschool, how do you recognize autism? What are some signs and symptoms? How do you talk to families if you see those signs? And how do you move forward with possibly, if needed, getting a diagnosis so that you can get access to those other supports?
Well, as we wrap things up here, Courtney, I guess I'd like to wrap things up by asking you this. What's one thing that somebody in the public who is unaware of autism, what's the one thing that maybe they need to know?
I think recognizing that there are so many differences within us, but more than anything, we are so similar to each other. We all have challenges that we are working on and overcoming. And if we take an active role in really educating ourselves and asking those questions, just being respectful of other differences, our community would go so much farther. So just appreciating our differences, valuing them, and making sure that we're promoting acceptance ourselves.
That's fantastic. We've been speaking with Courtney Liggett, who is the principal at Mary Cariola Center's East Henrietta campus. Courtney, this was great. Will you come back?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we're coming back on the Mary Cariola Center radio show after this break, and we're going to talk to Zach Schrader, and he is a behavior therapy manager, and we're going to get some of his observations and input on autism. So stay right with us on the WYSL stations, and we will be right back. Benefits and wellness. You hear those words often. HR departments need a partner to assist with benefit and wellness packages. That's where we come in. We're Smola Consulting. Our consultants are an integral part of your HR team. At Smola Consulting, we firmly believe that investing in the well-being of your employees will contribute to the overall health and quality of your organization while positively impacting your bottom line. Your benefits and wellness programs don't need to be one size fits all. At Smola Consulting, we provide and execute a customized plan for each client that minimizes risk and reduces bottom line costs while maintaining employee satisfaction. Smola Consulting is your solution for benefit and wellness consulting. Check us out at smolaconsulting.com or give us a call at 585-777-4080.
Hi, I'm Dr. Monacy Ladrigan of Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester, board certified dermatologist, pediatric dermatologist, and Mohs surgeon. We're a proud partner of the Mary Cariola Center. Comprehensive Dermatology is a privately owned practice. No call center, no big hospital system, just you and the provider working together to address your concerns. Featuring a new centrally located office with the most advanced MERV 13 air filters for infection prevention, highly rated providers, and incredibly friendly staff who accommodate urgent appointments daily for concerns that may come up overnight. Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester provides an unparalleled patient experience through excellent medical, pediatric, cosmetic, and surgical care, with a focus on customer service and practical solutions to make it easier for you to access the care you need when you need it. Call us today at 585-381-5800 or visit us at 585derm.com.
Lawley, Rochester's full-service insurance and employee benefits broker, is proud to support the Mary Cariola Center. Lawley is committed to being a trusted insurance partner within the Rochester community and provides business insurance, home and auto insurance, Medicare insurance coverage, wealth management, and employee benefits administration. Lawley's team of licensed Medicare and individual health care insurance agents can assist you with finding the Medicare insurance options best suited for you and your family. To learn more about various services offered, including Medicare insurance solutions, visit lawleyinsurance.com.
It was 1949. The National Basketball Association was formed. The George Eastman residence was turned into a museum. And a very fiery woman named Mary Cariola, armed with a big heart and even bigger plans, founded what today is the Mary Cariola Center. Today, the agency celebrates its 75th anniversary, and they're looking for your help to continue the mission of educating and caring for children and youth with intellectual developmental disabilities. Hey, join the celebration. Consider a donation for the anniversary. $75 for 75 years. Please visit marycariola.org and click on donate. And let's keep this agency going for another 75 years.
Mary Cariola Radio on WISL 92.1, 95.5 West, and News Power AM 1040.
We are back on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. I'm Greg Camp, your host, and all this show we've been talking about autism and the fact that it is Autism Acceptance Month, which has been changed from Autism Awareness Month, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. With us now is Zach Schrader, and Zach is one of Mary Cariola's behavior therapy manager. I guess that's not plural, is it? It's a singular. But Zach, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Zach, you know, why is behavior therapy for individuals with autism important?
Behavior therapy is important because of the focus it puts on promoting those positive skills and positive communication for the individuals, the students that we serve. Some of those significant developmental delays that you'll see in individuals with autism are in the realm of communication. It can lead to some of those negative behaviors being exhibited as a means to get their wants and needs met. So a huge focus of behavior analysis and behavior therapy is how do we teach appropriate ways to communicate those wants and needs so our students and children can have more effective means to get their needs met.
So what are some of the things that you would do as, you know, you work with your team and even when you work with the students, what are some of the things that you do as a behavior therapist?
One of the biggest purposes and parts of the role is to help identify the why. It's to look at why behaviors are occurring and what we can do to be the most supportive to our students, be the most supportive to the children that we serve. Because once we know the why, the reasoning behind or the function of the behavior that's occurring, it allows us to then move into the skills that we can teach to have that more appropriate or positive communication, and as well as what modifications can we make to an environment to make sure our students have the most successful days and can then transition those skills into the community and other settings.
Well, you know, you bring up the community. That's a great point. You know, it used to be called Autism Awareness Month. Now it is Autism Acceptance Month. Why do you think they changed it from awareness to acceptance?
I would venture to guess that I hope at this point, you know, there have been strides in education and strides in community awareness. But acceptance is a step beyond. It isn't just about being aware. Yes, there are individuals who have autism, just like there are individuals with any number of diagnoses. But also, how do we accept, how do we include, and how do we make sure that systems are set to provide for successful engagement and opportunity for everyone in our community? It isn't about only being aware of it, but how do we create an accepting and inviting system and community for all the individuals who are within it?
So, Zach, one of the things that we were talking to Courtney Liggett, who is the principal over at Mary Cariola's East Henrietta campus, you, when you work with the students and you're working with their behaviors, what do you see in terms of when they start to get it, when they're starting to understand behavioral changes and they're you know, constantly improving? What do you see in the students and how they react to it, and are they recognizing the fact that, hey, I'm doing this?
Absolutely. I've already talked a little bit about teaching some of those appropriate skills, but seeing the benefit that our students gain, and you can see it almost click of, oh, I don't need to engage in a tantrum. I don't need to throw my head, because when I use my words or I use my communication device, I get what I want that much quicker. And, you know, speaking of using the words or the communication device, sometimes you'll see it being used on so much faster and more often because, mm-hmm. hey, this works. This is right. easier. This is more beneficial. So you see that click and you see that enjoyment out of kind of moving through the next steps of what skills we're teaching, what are we learning, and those positive things that, you know, we admittedly are often reinforcing with all sorts of fun stuff, whether it's activities, edibles and treats and things like that.
And Zach, why is we always talk about autism in relation to sensory? That seems to be always connected. Why is that? What's the connection?
I think the connection between, you know, sensory engagement or sensory involvement in individuals who might have autism, alongside many other diagnoses or developmental pieces, is the perception of how something might feel, sound, be perceived could potentially be a little different, and something that may or may not be aversive to my ears or my passing sensory perception could be viewed very differently otherwise. And being aware and keyed into that everyone's experience and perception is slightly different, and especially when you're looking at the interplay between an individual who has autism and how that might be perceived, making sure that the structures, the strategies, the interventions that you're putting into place are taking into account and including and accommodating those particular sensory experiences.
We are speaking with Zach Schrader, who is the behavior therapy manager at the Mary Cariola Center. And Zach, we kind of playing off that whole spectrum and sensory and autism, you know, our community, we, you know, the Rochester Red Wings now have a sensory suite. We just heard that there's going to be a sensory area at the upcoming Lilac Festival. There's things at amusement parks now and concerts and so on. Is that important to not only the person with autism, but I would imagine to the families too? It's got to kind of be like, finally.
Absolutely. Creating those, you know, accepting, inclusive environments for individuals with autism, for someone who has a different preference or a different need, whether it's low sound, limited individuals, so it's less crowded, whatever it may be, is a huge boon for the individual. It's a huge boon for the caregiver. It can relieve that stress and have a time where you don't need to worry about what might exist in the environment that I need to try and navigate and assist on both an individual and a caregiver level, and more focus on what you're attempting to do, which is have fun at a baseball game, which
sure.
is go to the Lilac Festival and, you know, have fun, get something to eat, get something from all the vendors, have the experience versus worrying about this isn't set up for me or my needs.
And is that a common concern for parents and caregivers that, you know, they're worried about where they can go and where they can't go?
Absolutely. And I think it's something that we hear from our families often is, oh, we don't go to this thing because it isn't set up for success. It isn't accessible. It isn't for my child. So as these opportunities get more and more inclusive, it provides more opportunity for the students that we serve to do what everyone else does. And that's that, again, reaching from awareness to acceptance. These experiences should be available for everyone. So we need to create systems that allow for that acceptance and that inclusion.
Great. Well, as we wrap things up here, Zach, tell our listeners, how did you end up at Cariola? I always like to ask people kind of like, how'd you get here? How did you end up coming to work at Mary Cariola?
I graduated from Nazareth with a undergrad in psychology and didn't know how to parlay that into any job. And my mom said, oh, have you heard of Mary Cariola? As a 22-year-old still getting job recommendations from his mom. So I applied, started as a teacher aide, and moved through into many different jobs because I discovered my passion and my love for working with behavior and went into continue my degree into behavior analysis and now work in the position that I do now.
Well, great. Well, Zach, we really appreciate you being with us and, you know, thanks for being on the show today.
Happy to come. It's a pleasure.
All right, folks. So coming up next, we're going to switch gears a little bit, which is why I asked Zach the question about how he started here. So we're going to talk about recruitment and actually getting a job here at Mary Cariola. Stay with us on the WISL radio stations. It was 1949. The National Basketball Association was formed, the George Eastman residence was turned into a museum, and a very fiery woman named Mary Cariola, armed with a big heart and even bigger plans, founded what today is the Mary Cariola Center. Today, the agency celebrates its 75th anniversary, and they're looking for your help to continue the mission of educating and caring for children and youth with intellectual developmental disabilities. Hey, join the celebration. Consider a donation for the anniversary. $75 for 75 years. Please visit marycariola.org and click on donate. And let's keep this agency going for another 75 years.
Hi, I'm Dr. Monacy Ladrigan of Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester, board-certified dermatologist, pediatric dermatologist, and Mohs surgeon. We're a proud partner of the Mary Cariola Center. Comprehensive Dermatology is a privately owned practice. No call center, no big hospital system, just you and the provider working together to address your concerns. Featuring a new centrally located office with the most advanced MERV 13 air filters for infection prevention, highly rated providers, and incredibly friendly staff who accommodate urgent appointments daily for concerns that may come up overnight. Comprehensive Dermatology of Rochester provides an unparalleled patient experience through excellent medical, pediatric, cosmetic, and surgical care, with a focus on customer service and practical solutions to make it easier for you to access the care you need when you need it. Call us today at 585-381-5800 or visit us at 585derm.com.
Salary has always been important to your employees, but so too are benefits. At Smola Consulting, we are benefit and wellness consultants. We empower our clients to offer benefit programs that balance cost with the ability to provide comprehensive benefit programs. This helps employers retain staff and recruit new staff. Smola Consulting, we're here for you and your employees. Call us today at 585-777-4080 or visit smolaconsulting.com.
The Mary Cariola Center Radio Show, always on WISL1040.com.
We are back on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show, and, you know, up until now we've been talking about autism and autism awareness, but if you know the kind of the rhyme to my reason here is that I asked everybody about how they started their career at Mary Cariola Center, and we're going to continue on that theme as well, and we've got a special guest with us today. We have Stephanie Camilleri, who is a recruiter at the Mary Cariola Center. Stephanie, welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So first of all, I want to know a little bit about you. Why and how did you become a recruiter?
So I stumbled upon recruiting. I have a business degree, business administration, had no idea what I wanted to do when I came out of college. And I found a recruiting coordinator position with another company. And I stayed there for about a year and a half and became a recruiter. And I just fell in love with it. I love being able to give people an opportunity to get a career and just jumpstart their life and find their passion too. So definitely recruiting definitely found me.
Okay. And you know, I can only imagine. I mean, I always tend to think of recruiters in terms of colleges and especially like college sports, and they go out and find those people. Mm-hmm. Is it pretty much the same? You got to go out and find them?
Yeah. A lot of the times we post different things on social media. We go out to different job fairs too, which is really where we find the people. You can't really just wait for people to find you. You really have to market your company and show that you're recruiting and hiring, and hopefully people listen.
All right. Well, here's your chance to talk to some people. Why should somebody work at Mary Cariola, whether it's in the school, in administration, in our residential program? Give me the why.
Yeah. So working at Mary Cariola is so much more than having a job. It's really about finding your passion and doing meaningful and fulfilling work. We serve individuals with complex disabilities and high medical needs, so it's tough and a very emotionally draining job. But at the end of the day, it's so worth it to see the smiles on both the residents' and students' faces and to be able to watch them progress through life. At Mary Cariola, the staff are filled with so much passion and joy that it makes coming to work every day that much easier. I've only been here a few months, but everyone I have come across greets you with a smile and is always willing to help you with whatever you need, which is really nice. And I think we have a strong sense of community here, which is really special.
Well, absolutely. I know many call it the Cariola community. So
yeah.
So that's great. So, you know, we talk about someone coming to work here, and whether, again, it's in school or residence or administration, what would be some of the benefits of working here other than, you know, the typical ones of health insurance and, you know, stuff like that? What's some other benefits?
Yeah. Well, aside from being a part of transforming the lives of people with disabilities and having a warm and welcoming environment, Mary Cariola offers a lot of other benefits too. We offer college-specific tuition discounts, so depending on which college you attend and what your studies are, you can get a percentage off your tuition. We also have scholarships that any employee can apply for too. So we are all about continued education here. I mean, we did start out as just a school too. We have an amazing learning and organizational development team who will sit down with you and talk to you about your career path and what courses or things that we offer might be best for you. We also believe in a strong work-life balance, so the PTO package is very generous here too. Mary Cariola understands that our employees cannot properly serve and care for others if we are not taking care of ourselves first. That's why the package is so generous, and we also have a therapist that stops by each of our campuses on a regular basis. And he's free to talk to you about whatever you need, whether it's work-related or life-related. And employees also get a free membership to the Calm app, too, which has thousands of videos, podcasts, and playlists that provide a mental break, soothing sound, meditation, or a peaceful night's rest.
So that's kind of awesome that there's that many benefits other than, again, the typical ones.
Mm-hmm.
So as a recruiter, when you're out speaking with someone, whether you're at a job fair or whatever, do you talk to them about these, the kind of the added benefits that are more quality of life related than, you know, health insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, health insurance is important. We all need it. But I think the biggest thing that people want, I know I definitely want, is to feel like I'm part of something bigger. I want to feel like I'm making a difference in the work that I do in someone's life anyway. So I definitely hit home on that in our community. And then I also love talking about continued education too, because I think that's something that Mary Cariola does a lot of, and we do it really well.
Yeah, that's amazing that there's college tuition discounts, but also, you know, the scholarship program for staff. I mean, imagine coming in as a teacher's aide or a direct support professional, and you want to become a nurse or you want to become a behavior therapist. That's something they can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely put the work in trying to develop our employees and get them to where they want to be at the end of the day.
Well, that's fantastic. We are here at the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show, and we are speaking with Stephanie Camilleri. Stephanie is a recruiter for the Mary Cariola Center, and we're talking a little bit about the benefits and working here at Mary Cariola Center. So, one benefit I think maybe we didn't talk about, but probably should just mention, it's going home at the end of a day knowing you made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that something that people are still looking for in this job market?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think we're kind of getting away from just wanting to stay at one place and just kind of stay there until we're ready to retire. We're really looking for a company that we can be a part of and be something so much more. And having that fulfilling feeling, too, at the end of the day, and being able to go home and know that you made a difference just means so much.
That's great. So Mary Cariola, I'm sure, is always looking for people. So what do you got open?
Yeah, so currently we have openings in both our community services program and our school program. We are looking for direct support professionals to work in one of our 6 residential homes and provide direct care to our residents. Similarly, in our school, we have the classroom aide positions, too, which assist students in the classroom. And then we also have some higher-level positions available, too, like registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, behavioral intervention specialists, and so much more. If you go to our website, you can check out all of our opportunities.
And that website is marycariola.org, and then I think they just click on employment.
Yep, there's a tab at the top that says employment and then view open opportunities.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I'm assuming that the kind of business, if you will, or the services that Mary Cariola Center provides, that means there's usually some openings for people to apply for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk to me a little bit about the recruitment and the hiring process. So, you know, how does it work? You know, someone goes to the website maybe and they see a job that interests them. What do they do and where does it go from there?
Yeah, so the first step is to apply. It'll ask you a few questions that you have to fill out. It'll also ask you if you want to upload your resume. We prefer if you upload a resume, but if you don't have one, no worries. You can fill out your work experience right on the application too. Just make sure you list as many opportunities that you have on there, specifically the ones that are most relevant to the role that you're applying for. And then once you do that, it sends off to one of the recruiters, either myself or our other recruiter, Jamie. And we look through those on a daily basis. We're constantly going through applications. After that, we typically have a phone interview that's followed by an in-person interview. And then depending on the position, we may have you come back for a second time just to see the environment you will be working in and to be able to meet some of the residents and students too.
So let me ask you a question about that. You know, we're supposedly, and I think for the most part we are, post-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But has your job as a recruiter changed, or has the job applicants changed since COVID? Is it easier, tougher, the same?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still fairly new in the recruiting world, but I definitely think it's changed a lot. I think it's definitely tougher to find people because I think through COVID, everyone realized that the world could literally end tomorrow. So there's a lot of different wants and needs from those that are searching for jobs. So it's definitely different in the approach that you have to take and the things that you try to talk to them about. Like I said before, nobody really cares as much about the benefits that you offer, like health insurance or mm-hmm. really the pay. They really just want to make sure that they have a good work-life balance and that they can make a difference.
Sure, absolutely. I can understand that. You know, I also think that, you know, you and the recruiting team, I'm assuming that you're out in the community. So, like, what kind of events do you go to and are there any coming up?
Yeah, definitely. So we go to just about any event. We're big with Rochester Works. They do a lot of downtown MCC job fairs. We're actually going to be there this week as well doing a job fair. And then we do have a hiring event coming up, too, on May 1st. So on May 1st from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., we will be at the Fairport Public Library in their community room. And we'll be having open interviews, too. So all are welcome. Just make sure that you apply on the website before you attend. If you don't have a computer or a device, you can come right to the library and use one of theirs.
So let me get this right. So it'll be a Mary Cariola hiring event, mm-hmm. but it'll be at the Fairport Library.
Yep.
And then you should apply prior to going or at the computers at the library.
Yep.
And will that be for, like, all positions or just certain positions?
Yeah, so we're focused on our direct support professionals. So that's part of our community services team. So the minimum requirement for the direct support professional position is just to be 18 or older. So really anyone can do it. It's a mm-hmm. great entry-level job. And it's perfect for anybody that just loves helping people and wants to be able to take care of others.
Wow, that's fantastic. And tell me a little bit about, because I will admit I haven't had to do this in a number of years, but when you say open interviews, mm-hmm. you actually interview the people who are applying right then and there on the spot.
Yep. Yeah. So we're kind of straying away from our typical interviewing process. We won't be doing any kind of phone screens or phone interviews prior. It'll just be if you show up, we'll sit you down at the table with one of our managers and you'll have an interview with them. And then we'll kind of go from there. People can get offered right on the spot, or we'll have you come back for a home visit.
Wow. So they could potentially walk into the library without a job and come out with one.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Wow. So things have changed so much over the years. How do you when you are doing these things, how do you observe people? Like, I mean, are they, I would assume that they're happy that they could come in and get an interview and walk out with a job.
Yeah. A lot of people are, and we always have takeaways and things too. Like, we'll have some pamphlets out there to tell them more about our positions. We'll have some swag items and stuff for them to take too. But it's always nice to see somebody coming in that really needs a job or just looking for a change. And then to be able to have them walk away happy and knowing that they have one is just really awesome.
As we wrap things up, Stephanie, two last questions. One is, do you accept like college students if they're looking for a job for the summer? Mm-hmm. Ideally, I know that they wouldn't be staying, but I'm assuming that Cariola would entertain college students.
Absolutely. Yeah, we offer per diem and full-time roles in the houses. But then also our school does have summer school as well. It's our extended school year, so we're always looking for extra hands, even if you can just do the summer.
That's great. So remind us one more time where the job fair is and what they need to do.
Yep. So the job fair is going to be May 1st from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fairport Public Library. It's for our direct support professional position, so just make sure you go to our website and apply to the position before you come.
And that website is marycariola.org, and you click on a tab, and the employment tab.
Yep, the employment tab will either be across the top, or if you're on a smaller screen or a mobile device, there'll be three lines that you can click on, and I'll pop open the menu where you can find employment and then view open opportunities.
That's great, and I also know, folks, for you who might be interested in coming to work at Mary Cariola, that you know going to the website is a great opportunity because you can learn about the agency as well, which is in its 75th year. So the agency's not going anywhere.
I know. I don't think so. I mean, when we first started, people said we weren't going to last more than 6 months. And here we are, 75 years later.
Great. Well, Stephanie, thank you for being with us. And we really appreciate it. And good luck at the job fair in May.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show. Hopefully the interviews today have been educational and maybe even motivate you to do a couple of things. So, you know, we talked about this month being Autism Acceptance Month, and it's a perfect opportunity to learn more about autism and to interact with those who have autism because they want the same things that everybody else does. So they just want to have fun and talk to people. So it's a great opportunity to do that. Also, remember, the Walking on Sunshine event is September 22nd in September, and we're going to be sending out some information on the website, marycariola.org, and you can learn more about the walk. Hey, thanks for joining us, and tune in next month for the Mary Cariola Center Radio Show.